Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We are in the midst of the heart of this doctrinal epistle that concerns the hope. And in our previous session, we saw quite a bit of information of the details of the gathering together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13 through verse 18, gives specific information about the next great spiritual event in history. And when I say history, you can think of that with a hyphen as his story. The story of the coming one, Jesus Christ. In actuality, this context continues, and it continues in chapter 5 through verse 11, which is what we'll handle in this particular session. Sometimes when there's a chapter heading in the midst of a context, you can kind of lose the flow. But we learned about what would occur in the gathering together, that those which are alive and remain are not going to go before, they're not going to precede them which are asleep, but the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What tremendous information it gives us. The great hope, our hope as Christians. Christ is coming back at any moment, and we will be gathered together unto him. And the encouragement is, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It brings great comfort to know that this present evil world is not our final home. We're just a passing through. It brings great comfort to know that those Christians who have died, that are called asleep, will be made alive. It brings us great comfort to know that we'll receive new bodies, that we'll receive new minds, and that from this point of the gathering together, that we will never again be separated from the Lord, that we'll ever be with the Lord. And then the context continues in verse 1 of chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, this phrase, the day of the Lord, has particular emphasis on the day of vengeance of our God, the time of wrath. But it is initiated by the event that we read about in 1 Thessalonians 4, starting in verse 13, the gathering together of the church. So the gathering happens, and it can happen at any moment, and it happens very quickly in an atom, in a moment. The trump of God sounds, and the church is gathered away from this earth. At that point is the beginning of the day of the Lord. And so the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. It comes unexpectedly, like a thief, very sneaky when you're not expecting it. A robber, on the other hand, might come up and just point a gun in your belly and take your wallet. But a thief works with stealth so that it's unexpected. It could happen at any time that the gathering of the church happens and the day of the Lord is initiated. It's interesting because in verse 1 it says, of the times and the season, brethren. This phrase is also used in Acts chapter 1. Look at Acts chapter 1. You remember on the day of the ascension, that Jesus Christ is assembled with his apostles, the apostles whom he had chosen, and most probably some other disciples. And they asked him, in verse 6, they asked him, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? In other words, is this the time, Lord, that you're going to set yourself up on the throne in Jerusalem and become king of Israel? Is this the time that you're going to conquer the Romans? Is this the time that we will regain our national identity? Look what he said. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Same phrase, the times or the seasons. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons. Who is the one that knows it? The Father. The Father hath put it in his own power. So the time of restitution of all things, the time of judgment, including the time of wrath, the day of vengeance of our God, it's not for you to know when it's going to happen, because the Father has reserved that information unto himself. Look at Matthew chapter 24. It's kind of interesting. I don't know if this is a national thing, but it's certainly a local and regional thing, that there is a preacher, a guy out of the Bay Area, right during this period of time in which I'm teaching this, which has bought ads in major newspapers. He's purchased space on billboards to say that the day of judgment will be May 21st, the year 2011. Well, as I'm teaching this, we're just a few days away from that. Now, if he's right that it's May 21st, I'll praise God. Fantastic, because it will be initiated by the gathering together of the church. And I hope it happens before May 21st, 2011. I hope it happens before I'm done teaching this. But I know one thing, is that this guy does not know accurately when it's going to happen. No man does. No man knows the times or the seasons. We just read it. Here in Matthew chapter 24, why doesn't anybody know it? Because the Father hath put it in his own power. This information is reserved to God. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus Christ talks about many of the events of his second coming. But in verse 36, it says, but of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So this information of when this is going to occur, the times and the seasons, or here it's called the day and the hour, no man knows. So don't let anybody trick you by coming along and say it's going to be May 21st or any other specific day, because no man knows. We do know. We are greatly comforted to know that the next event, what will initiate the day of the Lord, what will initiate the next administration, the revelation period, and what will conclude this administration of grace is the gathering together. So back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they, and there's a distinction here between them and us, when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. This word travail means labor pains or birth pangs. Just like a pregnant woman, you know, she's been pregnant for a while, this baby's been growing in her, she's acclimatized, but then all of a sudden labor pains come. And boy, it changes things, doesn't it? It comes upon, as birth pains or labor pains comes upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. It's going to happen quickly. Them, or they here, refer to the unbelievers. You know, they're saying peace and safety, and then all of a sudden, there's a very unexpected event. And that unexpected event is the departure of the church and the initiation of the day of the Lord. But ye, this is not talking now about them, this is talking about us. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You know, we're not going to be, you know, in pain. We're not going to be caught off guard. There will not be consequence to the church. There will be blessings galore. I mean, blessings that we can't even really describe, that are just beyond our comprehension. But we're not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night and of darkness. The reason that we are the children of light, the children of the day, is because we're born again. Because we have God's Spirit within us. Because we've been saved. We've been delivered from the coming wrath. You'll remember at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, we're to wait for his Son from heaven. That's what we're waiting for. We're not waiting for destruction. We're not waiting for judgment. We're not waiting for pains and sufferings. We're to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. If we've been delivered from the coming wrath, then we're delivered. We've been saved. We are children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Boy, being children of light, we should walk in light. We should walk circumspectly. We should be aware that the time is short, that Jesus Christ is coming back at any moment, and make the most of the occasion that God has given us to assist him in the family business and move the word of God. So let us not sleep as do others. Don't be asleep spiritually, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. You know, this isn't talking about physical sleep or physical drunkenness. This is talking about being spiritually asleep, asleep at the switch, you know, of being all drunk with the cares and concerns of the world and all the affairs of life, so that you get distracted and get impervious to the things of God. So, you know, don't let it happen. And that says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of believing and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Just like 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 coupled these three great realities, let's look it up while we're here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, where it says in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of believing and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Well, once again, there's a reference to these three great realities. You know, these are things that the church at Thessalonica already had and already practiced, that in the first chapter, Paul remembered by revelation. And here is just encouragement to do more of it. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of believing and of love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. You know, continue to love, continue to believe God's word, continue to have the hope of salvation. Verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, we learn that he delivered us from the wrath to come. Here it says he's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain deliverance by our Lord Jesus Christ. before this wrath comes, before this vengeance comes, before the day of the Lord is actualized with the events of the book of Revelation, before that comes the gathering together of the church. You see how God's word fits in this context so wonderfully? And we're waiting for a son from heaven. We're waiting for the trumpet to blow. We're waiting for that great shout, time! Because we have received deliverance by our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, a reference back to the two groups, at the time of the gathering together, there will be some which are alive and remain, and there will be some that sleep, that whether we wake, whether we're a part of that group that are alive and remain, or whether at the time of the gathering together we're asleep, we should live together with him. You know, now we've been saved by him, and we're waiting for him to return. But at this time of the gathering together, we are going to all live together with him. Whether previously we had been awake or been asleep, that all Christians will live together with him. And how long will that be? Well, verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 4 says that so shall we ever be with the Lord. We will live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Throughout this epistle is recognition that these are things that they were already doing. At the beginning of this particular session, we read verse 1, which says that of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Why? Because they already knew it, and they were already believing it. They already were practicing the love of God. They were already believing. They already had the hope. But these words are written to comfort them and to establish them so that it would be reinforced. The church at Thessalonica was a great example to other churches in the first century, and reading about their example speaks very loudly to us 20 centuries later. They were wonderful believers, and this is written to encourage them to continue to stand in light of the hope. So there's wonderful details given here of the hope of Christ's return. And some of the things which we just read about are going to be given in either even greater detail when we get into 2 Thessalonians. But from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, through 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, is a tremendous context concerning our gathering together unto him, and then the events that will follow in the day of the Lord.